Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Welcome in, Reno. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Offices in Reno and downtown Vegas and Vegas and Henderson. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Dial 775 in the north. Willie Ramirez is in as the company. It's Cofield. Griffin is here as well. If you want to watch the show, we're up on ESPN Las Vegas on Facebook, ESPN Las Vegas on Instagram, at Steve Cofield on Twitter. Let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Willie, we start off the Big Four with a little hockey in late August. Did you figure VGK is pretty much tapped out in terms of the bag? Bringing in big name players at this point is you had the note that Patrick Laine winds up going to the Blue Jackets. Check that. Going to the Canadiens
from the Blue Jackets. And this was somebody who, you know, he broke his clavicle, his collarbone. And he was limited to 18 games. And then he enlisted, sort of sought out help with the player assistance program. Issues with mental health, and he was finally cleared in July. So he missed a lot of the season with injury and then mental health issues. I'm not sure the inner workings of what the organization, you know, as far as the relationship with Patrick Laine, and where that was at. I don't necessarily know if the Golden Knights had their eye, if they were truly set on. You know, I think that they're set with what they've done during the offseason, and training camp's less than a month away, I believe. So it's a good pickup for Montreal if he can return back to who he is and what he brings to the ice.
Probably a bargain for him. And when you, on his side, I don't know what the mental health issues are, but and this is not to rip on these markets, but Montreal is one thing. The peg is pretty intense. Columbus, I'm not so sure, but he's going to like
a hockey
heaven. Yeah. You know, Toronto's like that. Montreal is tough, but maybe that'll be a great thing for him.
It could be, and it's you know, we've seen some people thrive there. You nailed it right there. It's one thing with recovering from a collarbone, you know, a broken collarbone, but you're talking about mental health, and he better be ready for what's the firestorm that could come if he doesn't produce with what he's being paid to be brought up there, whatever it comes down to in the terms and what's expected of him.
Yep.
So that's an organization that's been sort of starving for, you know, to climb back out of it ever since the Golden Knights, in the 2021 season, right after the bubble. It'll be an interesting move for him, and I saw that, and it sort of raised a little bit of a red flag for me, but we'll see what happens. Again, more than anything, hopefully his mental health is where it needs to be, and he got the help that he needed, and he's ready for the season.
Number three.
Federal lawsuit filed by De'Erica Hamby against the Aces. The WNBA dealt with this a while ago, right, Willie, with a fine to the organization and the coach and a suspension for Becky Hammon. I didn't think we'd hear anything from any of the Aces players, but certainly not Becky Hammon, with this being a legal issue. Right. You know, lawyers probably saying, hey, let's keep it quiet here. You can't comment on this, but Coach Becky was out a couple days ago, and she talked about it. What'd you think?
I was surprised because it was the very first question after the game. It was after the Sparks game. And somebody said, you know, uncomfortable question here for you, but it's De'Erica's first trip back to Las Vegas. And I know you can't speak. And she cut the person off and said, I can give you facts. That's what I can give you. And the part that was, I guess, is deemed factual, and that's fine, is where she said, we didn't reach out to him. She was never on the block until Atlanta called us.
Right.
So, okay, so that's fine, and I don't have a problem with any of that. But then she went into saying the bullying never happened. Here's the problem with that statement. And I'm not saying that Becky's wrong, and I'm not saying that De'Erica's wrong. I think it's a matter of interpretation and how people are treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Becky's an old school pop product, we know how Greg Popovich is with reporters, let alone maybe his own players. So
I gotta jump in for a second. When she said, I've been in the NBA and WNBA for close to 25 years and never had a complaint, you were coaching in the NBA.
Right.
You're coaching men.
Well,
this is a specific female workplace issue that men, I guess, as dads, kind of have to deal with. But it is a whole different ball of wax when it's the woman. And in this case, then it gets even more odd, I think unusual, but maybe it's not that unusual when it's, you know, pregnant female coach.
It is, but when she said that, I think she meant as a player too, because in reality, you can be a veteran, a.k.a. your favorite player, Diana Taurasi, and be someone who bullies, right? Or appears to be. We saw what happened with Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith when they were here. That was a topic you loved to ride for a while.
You know what? I wasn't even thinking of Becky's playing career. I mean, I don't know if Becky wasn't like DT. And
we don't know. And she played in New York.
Whatever happened with Skylar Diggins and that whole thing, which we'll get to Diggins later. She's a personality as well. But maybe there are players who would come out of the woodwork with Becky and be like, there are times where was a little bullying. So
it's a matter of interpretation.
Yep. And this, you're right. In the same relationship, both sides can have a completely different view of it. One side can not feel comfortable bringing it up. This is subordinate, you know, and superior. And another thing we'll hit on later on. Listen, Brian Flores with Tua, maybe it hit Brian Flores where he's like, what?
Yeah.
I did that? Well, that's what the player thought. And I guess Tua at the time was afraid to say it. So these she said, she said, he said, she said, whatever, he said, he said. They're complicated. I was really surprised that she spoke on it.
The one thing in reading through the lawsuit, reading through the paperwork and seeing the claims and everything, that I you know, LA's first trip to Vegas last year, I went up and said hi to De'Erica, and I just went up and said hi to her. I was like, hey, let's catch up. She was like, I can't really. I was like, I just wanted to catch up with you. I haven't seen you.
Right.
She goes, no, I'll talk to you. So we sat baseline. Someone actually took a picture, like a friend of mine from back in the day, and put it on one of his pictures from like At the Game Today social media. And we sat and talked, and she actually gave me some stuff on the record in general on her return. And when the recorder went off, she shared a lot of stuff. I've yet to see a couple of names that she shared with me in the lawsuit or anything, which I am not at liberty to repeat, but I'm wondering if she's holding some stuff back for ammunition. I don't know. Or this is her best avenue based on what her lawyers and her representation is telling her. I don't know. But she shared some other things, not outside of which is in this lawsuit, but just there are some names that I'm not seeing. So I'm curious as where this goes.
What was the game like? What was happening during the game? When De'Erica Hamby got the ball, was she being booed?
I didn't go.
Okay.
I
saw reports that she was getting booed. If that's the case, Aces fans, some of you are pigs. You are gross. That is disgusting.
I heard both.
You don't know what happened.
Cheers and boos.
Unless you're some insider, you don't know what happened.
Right. They're turning into Golden Knights fans. Yeah.
It's our person, our woman, our player, right. And we're going to support them no matter what. There is, to me, athletes don't get unconditional support across the board just because they're on your team. And in this case, I'll say it. If it's female fans who don't know exactly what happened here, and you're booing De'Erica Hamby because she's on the Sparks now, but you're mad because she filed a lawsuit, screw yourself.
Let me ask you this.
You are jerks.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of when it comes to the situation, especially.
And by the way, I'm actually quoting partially my mother when I was telling her this story. So, again, with the,
I agree with you in terms of we don't know what took place when you're talking about a pregnant woman in the workplace. But in the same regard, which you and I have talked about plenty about this season, with all the attention from media and fans and critics and what have you, when you're asking for the attention of, hey, we deserve the spotlight as much as everybody else. It's also kind of part of sports. We just talked about Laine going to Montreal. Can you imagine if she used to be with the Liberty and she went to a New York crowd, or if Philly had a team and she went to Philly? Those sports towns. So, I mean, in reality, that's kind of sports. And I'm not saying that it's right. What I'm saying is comes with the territory. Yep. It's ugly, and it's kind of cruel considering this topic that we're talking about. But that's the day and age we live in with sports.
Number two.
Big news around the WNBA came out last week with the league saying next All-Star game, Indiana. Adam Hill's favorite city.
Favorite city. Adam will be there to cover it.
Cofield and Company's probably least favorite show, or least favorite city.
We're not going on the road. I thought you were making an announcement.
That's the last place we're going. We've been through this many times. Why do you think this happened? It's the obvious?
It's the obvious. 100%. And, you know, she didn't compete in the – she basically took everything off.
Aaliyah,
right?
Boston's a hell of a player.
She took
– Caitlin Clark.
She took that time off right from jump. Didn't, you know, no All-Star festivity. Well, she played in the All-Star game that beat but she didn't play in the skills competition. So I'm sure that word got out. I don't know this, but hey, we're bringing it to a town near you. And I mean, they're embracing it, and it's a smart move. We just, while we went on the air, Steve, this came across from the league. I just got this in my email. The Seattle Storm at Indiana Fever game, the most viewed WNBA game on ABC ever. 2.2 million viewers. It peaked with 2.9 million, up 256% versus the 2023 regular season average on ABC. So it's pretty damn obvious and smart on the league's part to take advantage as they progress with the TV rights deal, the infusion of billions of dollars into this league, and where this is headed, the Caitlin Clark effect continues.
By the way, let's say it right now. For the WNBA.
You're going to lose the bet with me.
Whatever your $1,200 pay is for the ladies in the three-point contest, if that's all you can afford, you better go sell a sponsor. And I don't care if Caitlin Clark is the only one who gets paid side money. You better make sure she's in the freaking three-point contest. And on top of that, you probably need to get a special deal for Sabrina. They better go head-to-head, or the league has failed. Because they were a disaster this time around. When we found out what they were making, and then last minute, they're like, oh, we got a bonus. You know?
Well,
we know when the game is! Yeah. Put it up on the task board now, on the whiteboard in the sales room.
That wasn't
Caitlin
the league.
Caitlin Clark and Sabrina deal.
That wasn't the league that announced the bonus. That was sponsors that stepped up on their own and said, we're going to get
it. That should be the WNBA.
No, they should.
Make some money off the company, you give it to the players.
And it's not even, here's the thing. It's not even going to be, they're not even going to have to lift a finger to get this done. There are people reaching out already. Can you imagine what it's going to cost just to have a commercial during the skills competition and... You know, hang on.
There's no hanging on. You got 10 seconds. Okay, we can do it on the other side.
We'll do it on the other side.
Okay. We got number one coming up. We're going to get into
number one.
Coming out of the break, as Caitlin Clark has played really well in these first couple of games. And a little more sassy. People are getting mad. A little edgy. Love it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Little WNBA talk here on the 4 o'clock hour. Before we get back to Minshew v. Akon and Willie's take on the starting quarterback for the Raiders. But we were just talking about what could be coming in the second half here. You and I have a bet, 28-12. Over-under, final record for the Aces. I needed that Liberty victory. That was big.
It was huge.
But it's still very much up in the air. Very much up in the air. As you watch a game like that, do you think to yourself, Stewie is just simply better than Asia Wilson?
No. I think that as watching that game live, that Stewie has the more comprehensive – supporting cast around her.
She's also got a different game. She really incredible. Does have a good face-up game at 6'5".
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And Asia is a great power player.
Yeah. Stewie can play all five positions without a hitch. Asia is capable of pulling up from anywhere on the court. And I'm not saying she can't bring the ball up court, but Brianna Stewart's footwork is ridiculous. Her ball handling skills are ridiculous. I've been saying this. You remember, I don't know if you remember this, but we were sitting in here in this studio. I was over there, Damon was over there, and he was shaking his head. He was scoffing at me because I was like, at the time, I was saying Brianna Stewart was the best player in the world because
he scoffed?
An Asia backer.
Yeah.
But now I still say that Asia's the most dominating player in the world. I'm now saying that. But Brianna Stewart is a special basketball. They are, without a doubt, the two most dominant. They are the best players. They are the faces of the league.
Mm.
Yes.
Two best players, face of the league, is a rookie.
No, it's not.
You guys are just never going to relent on this.
She's not
it's
the face
over
of the league.
It's over to the numbers.
It's not. She's not the face of the. That doesn't mean that she's the face of the league right now.
They've gotten a million in terms of audience for 18 games this year. 16 freaking times it's Caitlin Clark. Mm. That's the face of the league. What are we fighting anymore?
She's not.
She's not the best player. I think she's going to be accelerated on that front past what a lot of people built as expectations the first like 18 games. No, the other two are awesome players. They have been marketed horrendously.
The graphic that was put out most recently for the return of the WNBA on the League Pass, it's a full-blown graphic with, you know, where they're turned into art pieces.
Okay.
Asia's at the forefront with Brianna and Caitlin in the back. They are the three faces of the league.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Yes.
WNBA. But any graphic put out by that league, they're run by morons. Don't take it the wrong way.
Okay.
That is just this insistence that we have to be genteel. We have to be delicate about this before handing over the league mantle to Caitlin Clark. It is what it is, man.
The torch has not been passed. When she wins a couple of MVPs, when she wins a couple of titles, when she wins a couple of gold medals.
Winning does not make you the face of the league. It helps a lot.
Huh. Okay. Asia Wilson's the face of the league.
Who's the face of the NBA? Steph Curry or LeBron?
LeBron James.
Who's one more? Steph.
So,
what?
It's the established. You gave me the choices.
Yeah.
Those out of those two.
I love this fight because I care so little. But people, dude, this gets so weaponized. People freaking love it. Did you see RG3?
No.
He loves this. Obviously, Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp, loves the topic as well. But, by the way, I'm sad that RG3 got fired by ESPN. I think he's good. I think he brings a lot of energy. I hope he lands somewhere really good. RG3, it's very clear WNBA players are tired of Caitlin Clark getting all the shine and being the vocal point of every discussion or focal point. It's beyond competitiveness and physical play. They don't even want to answer questions about her. If they don't like it, then stop her. And that was also referencing Sky Diggs doing this childish, as Caitlin Clark is waving to the crowd, getting them amped up after a road win. That was a road win, right? That was in Seattle, wasn't it? Is that correct?
It was in Indianapolis.
Skylar taking us on the road? Getting mad that she's hyping up her home fans? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi was right. But that we've seen Diggins.
Diggins
can get a little worked up, but what is she doing? Bumping Caitlin Clark in Indiana. Get out of here. And again,
she rushed by.
Can we go back to Aaliyah Boston or someone else clotheslining some of these players? Let's go. Seriously. Let's get physical. Right? Olivia Newton-John. I just did the Trump double D dance. I don't know why I did that.
Listen, I saw a great tweet, and while we're sitting here going back and forth, I'm going to find it, and because it summarized it best when it comes to Caitlin Clark, Diana Taurasi, the Diana Bird Show, in the fact that there's not one thing that we've heard from what we've seen. There's not one thing we heard preseason in terms of what we've seen that is not true when it comes to Caitlin Clark. Okay? And if you break down the timeline from start to finish, it is 100% accurate when it comes to Caitlin Clark. Okay? I'm sitting here talking slow because I'm scrolling through to find it.
Can I make a point?
Yeah, you make the point while I find it.
I always like to point out that when we talk about Caitlin Clark and jealousy from the league, this isn't a female thing. Because I'll give you one of them that comes to mind about we built the league. We've won. Who is she? Remember how stupid Troy Aikman looked when he tried to go at Patrick Mahomes after Mahomes had won one Super Bowl and he's like, oh, you know, come back to me when you win this many. And it was like, Troy, you're coming off as so jealous. And especially about a guy who is 50 times the quarterback you ever were. Troy Aikman was a solid quarterback. Unfortunately, he had concussion issues, but he played behind arguably the greatest offensive line in the history of the NFL. One of the top five running backs to hand it off to. Unbelievable receivers. He was a caretaker quarterback. And to me, this is kind of what's going on in the WNBA. Now, did Troy Aikman help build the NFL money-wise because of the success of the Cowboys, popularity-wise? Yes. But there's sometimes you just have to look at it and go, you know what? That guy is better. That guy has taken over the league. And in this case, Caitlin Clark isn't better yet, but she's taken over as the face of the league. Did you find your tweet yet?
I did.
Because I can rant about jealousy all day long.
You can, because you don't like Diana Taurasi. But would you agree with this sentiment? And this is how it reads. Here's the thing. Caitlin did have a welcome period to the league. She wasn't ready for that Olympic team when the roster was decided. She's figured it out extremely fast, and she's playing some of the best basketball in the WNBA. All of it can be true at the same time. Would you agree with that?
Would I? Yeah.
She had her welcome to the WNBA.
But I don't think the welcome to the WNBA was what you guys all think it meant. I think there was a little bit of salt behind that. Like, she ain't that good.
I disagree.
Not all rookies have a tough time.
I disagree because everybody just takes that clip of Diana Taurasi saying that because that's what everyone wants to clickbait on all the social media platforms. But later on, she said she's going to be a great player. Doesn't mean that she's not going to figure it out.
Later on.
Later on in the season.
Yes.
That's what's happened.
No, she did it before this recent explosion. Diana Taurasi, I think it was meeting number two between the teams. She gave her credit and was like, she is going to be good. Like, I got to give her credit. She's good. She got to see her up close.
They didn't ask her until then.
And got punked by her.
They didn't ask her until then.
What else are you going to do when you're getting punked as, you know, an older player?
They didn't ask her until the meeting. They're not going to. Are you kidding me? People are blowing up about Jewel Lloyd in Indianapolis, after her team just lost the second game out of the Olympic break. She walks into a press conference after the game, and they ask about Caitlin Clark. Out of line. Ask that at a different, hey, the next day post-game or the next day after shoot-around or after practice. But when you lose the second game and you're a top-four team, and you just lost in Atlanta, now you go to Indianapolis, and you walk in, and they're asking her about Caitlin Clark, I'd be frustrated too. Nobody wants to talk about an opposing team's player. But everyone's getting on Jewel. Go, oh, you're hating on Caitlin Clark. No, ask me about my team or what we did wrong.
You ready? You want to do it with me? Here, ready?
Punching down.
Yeah.
She didn't punch down.
Diana Taurasi is a legend of the game. Lift everyone up. Do you want me to sing? Want me to sing some sort of motivational song about lift us all up?
Okay.
Right? You go, girl. I don't know. I heard Liz, what was her name? Liz Phair? Extraordinary. That was the big theme for the WNBA. I thought we were all together.
We're lifting everybody up.
Lift everyone up. Rising tide does what? Rises the boat or something like that. Yeah. Helps everyone.
Okay, Steve.
And now Caitlin Clark has the play behind her, and the Fever are getting better. And
you and I are going to be in a post-game press conference when UNLV gets smacked all over the place.
Huh?
I want to make sure that you ask about the opposing team's player.
Willie, come on. Do you know who I am?
It's the same thing.
Do you know the sort of equity I have?
when the Saints knocked the ever-living crap out of the Raiders.
Yes.
You go in and you're going to ask Max Crosby about
funny.
Derek Carr.
I do ask about the other teams and players, and sometimes you're right. I do get a little sass back.
Okay.
That happens.
Okay.
Hey, coach, can't you appreciate the greatness of so-and-so?
Well, this year
even
I want
you lost the game, go ahead.
And when they get back, I want you to go, hey, coach, don't punch down. Lift everybody
up. Don't get worked up at me. I'm useless.
It wasn't my team.
I'm worthless. I'm a nobody.
Real quick, the social media team put out a little post for the Cofield & Co. question of the day. Who is the face of the WNBA right now? So far, 71.4% say Asia Wilson. 28.6% say Caitlin Clark.
Right, we're in Las Vegas.
I was just going to say that, and I appreciate you doing that, but that's a local thing.
Come on.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Just past the halfway point of Cofield & Company. Going to talk to gambling insider Sammy P in a couple minutes. Number 9 on the Cofield & Company chef list. Possibly moving up with some good pictures. Miles Simmons, NFL insider from Pro Football Talk and Peacock. About 20 minutes away.
Wait a minute.
Text line is open, 364-1100. We're not doing the rankings right now. I'll release the rankings maybe in the grab bag. It's quick tease. We're banging. Let's go. Finley Kia text line, Willie. I'll just tell everyone, we love feedback, but this works in life. Sugar is always going to be greeted a little better than vinegar. So we will always get at least one text from someone who's like, I hate the WNBA. Stop talking about it. And Andrew, I appreciate you texting in. If the A's come, will you cover less WNBA? If so, let's go A's. If you would like us to talk more A's and less WNBA, just ask. That's all. And by the way, every show each day is different, and a lot of it depends on who we have in. Willie covers the Aces. I like basketball. Not necessarily women's basketball. I like basketball. I like angst. I like arguing. I like personalities. So this fits the bill. Now, the real answer to that is when the A's come here, just win a little bit. Because I can't beat my head into the freaking wall here or at all the remotes with a lot of concrete and pound the A's every day if they're not winning. So, yes, please win.
That being said,
yes,
Andrew.
Uh-oh.
I like
Here we
the
go. This
A's.
Is why the text line was shut down for 6 years.
I like the A's tonight with Joey Estes.
Okay. Be
because he's a perfect 3-0 with a 2.40 ERA in 7 home starts. He's held opponents to a 210 batting average in Oakland. And when you look at the big picture since mid-July, he's allowed no more than 3 runs over 6 starts, both home or away. And since July 14th, he's 2-1 with a 3.23 ERA. If there was ever a night or a series to look at the A's every single night, it's against the Rays this week. I like Oakland plus 100 with Estes against Shane Baz. There you go. We talked about the A's, and they're a betting.
Well, now it seems
they're a betting
play tonight.
Now it
seems like you're pandering. You're being condescending.
I'm not being condescending. I like them tonight.
Okay.
It was a perfect feed-in. I'm glad that he wrote in about the A's because I happen to have something to say about them.
You're smooth. Brisket or pulled pork? Sammy P put some meat in a smoker, said, talk to you in the morning, and then the son of a bitch didn't send out the finished product. He kind of did, but I wanted to see the finished product on the grill. He's coming up in about 5 minutes here. What do you think of the look of the meats?
It's the start of it. I agree. I mean, you got to have the finished product, but that's why it's tough when you always, you know, there's sometimes I've done that where you start with something and then you don't get to put the finished product or the plated product.
Your lobster mac and cheese. I mean, chef's kiss.
I stopped doing live shots. Like I used to do it right on. Now I just film the video on the camera app. And then later decide if I'm going to put a reel together or a video or whatever. Because I get into the cooking, and then sometimes I forget to put the finished product. He forgot to put the finished product. But I don't have a problem with this because if you look at it and go, okay, he knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? So
right.
I can appreciate what he's doing here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you shy away from putting up food pictures from beginning to end, because there's always someone in Twitterverse. You know, there's a Gordon Ramsay or, I don't know, Thomas Keller, like, ready to go. No. Looks like crap. Sucks. Again, under, you know, XYZ 500 numbers.
No, I've never really, nobody's really ever, I never really did a lot of Twitter. It was more just videos on Instagram, my stories.
Right.
And then I like to try to put the you know why I just slowed down was it's a pain in the butt to.
It is. A lot of work.
Yeah, to put.
A lot of work. And then you got people busting your horns on Twitter. We'll see what Sammy P got, because he had a big cookout. He laid out the meat. Beautiful picture. And then we'll get week zero college football selections.
Let's go.
Sports gambling insider Sammy P joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So many big announcements coming up on Cofield and Company for football season. We got a really big one with Sammy P. The bartender is back. Is this a two-year deal? Two-year deal?
Contract, but for media purposes,
sure.
I went with two-year deal.
How hard did he drive the negotiations? Do you actually get, do you buy that liquor yourself? Because there's always a beautiful pose of like some nice liquor, because you're like, it's winning time right now. The bartender's picks are out. Drink up.
Well, if I'm at a bar, I just ask the guy,
sure,
give me something funky. I think the last bottle was a creme de violette, which I've never had. But he was making a mezcal creme de violette lime juice concoction.
Nice.
And I said, let me get my hands on that. So I took a picture of that. You can always tell I'm either at the bar borrowing a bottle, or I'm at home with whatever I have on deck.
Borrowing a bottle. Sammy P, have you ever had Tawaka?
No.
I like to ask that question to people when they talk about liqueurs and different. Do yourself a favor one night when you're out having a nice steak dinner, you're out somewhere, ask for after dinner, have a nice Tawaka. Just trust me on it, and you'll thank me.
Wow.
Tawaka.
Is Tawaka from Oaxaca?
I don't know where Tawaka's from. But it's imagine having a nice Frangelica.
Oh.
Okay. So you know how much we talk about competitive eating? We talk about eating on the show a lot. I feel like the Cofield and Company convo is spreading around the world. Felica and Bears Betts and Schwartz and you and here we go with the food talk, but this time I've never heard a conversation about those little burgers at White Castle. Do we have a challenge?
Somebody made the number 98.5 for the four of us. I think over. Schwartz played in the NFL. He's 6'6", 300 pounds. I got him for 30.
Okay.
I think I could do at least 25, because I've been eating White Castle my whole life, and there have been multiple times when I've eaten 20 in one sitting. So let's go to 25. That's me and Schwartz at 55. Felica says he could only eat 12. And that throws off all the math. Because you need everybody to eat at least 20.
What a disappointment.
I still think lights are bright, red light goes on, Felica could get to 20. So I'm over 98.5 for the four of us. Give it an hour time limit.
Okay. I think you have no shot, but if you're actually going to do it, I'll bet under.
If you say no shot one more time, I might eat 30.
It's not up to you. I don't want to go down this path about big guys are not good eaters. You assume they're good eaters. They're not good speed eaters. There is a layer of blubber over the gut that inhibits the food intake. That's why Kobayashi is built like a brick S house, and Chestnut's in pretty good shape. And most of the competitive eaters are not fat asses, if you notice. Badlands Booker is, but his specialty is, you know, chugging two gallons of lemonade. So
I watched him do that. Disgusting.
That was great.
23 seconds, he drank 2 liters of lemonade.
And then the guy next to him projectile vomited like everything he'd had for the last month. I saw your cookout layout. My Lord. You left us hanging. With the smoker, you're like, see you tomorrow. And then you didn't post a picture finished, but then all torn up and sliced. That was a beautiful cookout table.
We had 40 people at the house, 38 pounds of meat, and people still tell me that it either doesn't look good or it probably doesn't taste good.
Yep.
And I can assure you, every time. The brisket, which was 18 pounds, it was on the smoker for 12 hours. Then I let it rest for 3.5. I don't care if I had a damn sword, Steve. There's no way to slice a moist brisket like that. It exploded on the knife. And then you get people to go, oh, you cut like a rookie. Dude, you come cut it then. And then I'll kick you out. It's just so dumb. Twitter is so stupid. Everybody at the party enjoyed the food. And then I got this washed up NFL cornerback telling me that baked beans are disgusting.
Mark McMillan is a member of Cofield & Company. He's actually an acclaimed chef. He was on Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I saw him get cut like the second episode.
He finished seventh place.
Out of what, eight?
Well, no, out of ten. The question is, was that fruit in the beans? Were those like pears?
It's apple pie filling.
Oh, really?
It was the first container to go.
Oh, wow. All right. Right back in Mark McMillan's face. We have Mark on an hour on Friday, so I will play the audio back. I like this.
Good.
Tell him
I said he's washed up.
I like the heat.
How about the mac and cheese? I need a background on the prep real quick. Give me the prep on the mac and cheese and what took place and how that went down.
So my mom was in town, made the mac. She was in charge of the mac. I did everything else. She does Gruyere cheese, intense cheddar, whole milk, and then she cooks up lobster meat with breadcrumbs on top into the oven at 375 for 45 minutes.
The second that you started naming off cheeses, you won. I mean, because that's it. Because as long as you're doing real cheese and you're doing multiple, and then you added the lob. I did a shrimp mac and cheese for Thanksgiving a couple years back. But, yeah, so, no, that's all I needed to hear was that there were multiple cheeses. That's a W.
Sammy P., SP Shoot up on Twitter, Fox Sports, gambling expert. All right, week zero. What's the approach here? You got a lot of FCS games, but there can be an edge if you really, do your homework and you got some insiders out there. What do we do here? Because I'm going to take New Mexico at home plus 11.5 against Montana State. And do you have a side or you're going to go with a total play?
I am going to wait on New Mexico. I'm going to take a bigger number. I'm hearing that it's going to float up a little bit more. It got down to about 9.5, and then there was a blitz on Montana State. So we're 11.5. I think we're going to see 12.5, maybe 13.
Hello.
I have a feeling people are going to bet Montana State as we get closer to Saturday. So I'm just going to wait that out, take the biggest number I can with the dog. And I want to take Georgia Tech so bad.
Yeah.
I missed the best number, guys. Yep. I could have taken 14 in August. Mm. So to take 10.5 at Circa, 10.5 at South Point now, it's probably not the best idea. I talk about getting the right number all the time.
Yep.
I don't want to tell people to take 10.5 when they could have taken 14.
And I'm right there with you because I tend to think on week zero, Sammy P, that just take, because it's not a lot of games. Right. I mean, if you don't include the FCS games, but those four games, take a shot. Look at every single dog. Don't immediately go toward laying the chalk simply for the fact that it's opening week. The heavily favored teams could sort of overestimate, especially when you're talking about a home dog. The one that's scary, like you said, is Georgia Tech, which obviously isn't a home dog. They're overseas, but it's the value has been lost. The one total I'm intrigued about, Delaware State, Hawaii, when you have a 38-point favorite on their home field, I'm wondering where your mindset is with the total on that one. Does Hawaii win and blitz them, or does Delaware State put everything and leave everything on the field for this one game, and does it soar over?
I don't have a single dollar on the game, Willie. I know for a fact at 10 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, I will get multiple texts asking if I should parlay the Hawaii and the over. No, I don't think that's a good idea either. I don't have a dog in that fight. I also saw this stat today that Hawaii is 12-2 ATS in its last 14 openers. So what?
Right.
It doesn't matter.
That's a lot of points.
What they did in 2011... I I lean under because I don't think Delaware State's going to score more than 10.
Sammy P joining us for our Reno listeners here in the 4 o'clock hour. SMU went from 20.5 to 24, 25. I'm even seeing a 27 out there at one place. Nevada's at home Saturday night. Your thoughts?
Give me 28 and we can have a conversation. I see Caesars at 27.
Seven. Yeah, that's the place.
I mean, Superbook 24, Caesars 27. You know what you got to do. If you like the favorite,
of course,
go to the South Point. If you like the dog, go to Caesars.
Or go to both and catch a middle.
Bet. Yeah, well, we got middle, 25.
Sure.
Yes.
Why not? Yeah. Take a shot.
I doubt it. I'm going to bet for sure New Mexico. Anything north of 10, I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet it pretty nice. And then here's the other part of that. I love New Mexico in the second game, which is technically week one, because this is week zero.
Right.
New Mexico is catching 30 against Arizona. If New Mexico hangs or beats Montana State, that 30 goes bye-bye. That 30 goes to 28 or 27. So if you like New Mexico, you can get ahead of them basically twice before kickoff on Saturday. So I'll bet New Mexico this Saturday, and then I'll take 30 with them against Arizona.
Sam Paniadovich with us, Fox Sports. I saw the offshore that had first college football fired odds. Did someone stick out for you?
I would hate to see another Sammy P out of work, guys. But Sam Pittman from Arkansas,
okay,
it's not looking great there. If you go to their schedule, there's a very realistic chance the Hogs could start 1-5. Whew. Now, I think collectively we could all agree that they're going to beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. But then it's at Oklahoma State, UAB, at Auburn, then Texas A&M and Tennessee. Then the bye week. You could fire him. You could launch his ass after Tennessee. What if Tennessee beats Arkansas 52-7 and you go into the bye week? That is the easiest time to launch a coach. I know that Napier and Mario are getting a lot of hype and they face each other in week one, when Miami takes on Florida. Arkansas is just not it. And I think Pittman's going to be the first to go.
SP Shoot Up on Twitter. Lots of good stuff up there, including the bartenders' plays and then random attacks on Sammy and by Sammy. Are you betting? Well, at least you were chatting about it. Little League World Series, Hawaii was taking on, what, the Illinois team, minus 850. What's going on with you, man? Have you gone officially off the deep end or into the deep end? Okay.
No, well, I'm from Illinois, so that was sort of stemmed in my tweet. Why is Illinois, you know, a $5.5 dog? And that game actually came down, ironically enough. Hawaii went from minus 850 to minus 550. So the price was not right, even though Hawaii won the game. I don't know how you can lay $8 on a Little League team, but there are people that do it.
I don't know how you can lay anything.
Yeah, my DMs were not very friendly after that tweet. Had a bunch of Bible thumpers telling me that I should go to hell for even talking about Little League Lions, which do exist. I mean, these are real things.
Bet on what you want.
How Christian of them.
Yes. Yeah, I could go to hell. Sammy, are we going to announce at some point what the hell's going on with you? We got Fox Sports. I know there's other stuff on the horizon. Let's go. Let's break the exclusive on Cofield and Company.
I signed a contract yesterday.
Woo! All right, so we'll be busier in the future. We'll leave it at that.
They are going to make the announcement on Thursday. Okay. So yeah. I am not going to let that get back to them, but it will be a daily show.
Beautiful.
Maybe radio, maybe video, maybe both. But we'll have to have you guys on when there's a big Vegas angle. That's for sure.
Let's do it. All right, Sam. We appreciate it. Good seeing you last week. Talk to you soon, buddy.
I don't think McMillian's washed up, by the way. Let him know that.
I will.
Okay.
There he is, Sam Paniadovich. Just got a text from Mark, an update. Mark says, mac and cheese, Gruyere. He said Gruyere sucks. Okay.
Oh, see, he's...
I'm kidding. He didn't text that. And he would never say that about your mom's recipe. He would never do... He is a sweetheart. He would never do that. All right, Sam. We are officially bye-bye. Thank you so much. 5 o'clock hours on the way. Miles Simmons will come in to talk about what the Raiders are doing at QB.